It's really a fairly recent thing that this, the last Sunday of the church year, has been specifically observed as Christ the King Sunday. It's something that developed within the past century. But it fits in well with the historic emphasis of these last few weeks of the year, looking forward to that future day of Christ's return. It works well because when Jesus does come back, it will be as the King of Kings. Each time that God has done something dramatic and important in human history, it's always been different from the way that it was before. At the time of the first Christmas, nothing like the Incarnation had ever happened before, the God and Creator of the universe becoming one of His creatures in a humble birth and life. And when Jesus returns, nothing like that will have ever happened before either. Now, from some of the things that I see and read in our culture's Christian community, I get the feeling sometimes that there is a bit of confusion on that point. Any church that can claim to be biblical and Christian at all believes that Christ is returning at some point in the future. Now, there's plenty of disagreement over the details, the timing, the particulars of the events, the idea of some kind of rapture, and all of that. But broadly speaking, it is a core Christian belief that Jesus is not gone for good. He's going to return. It's even in the creeds. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. But here's the confusion that I suspect there may be about this. Christians know that Jesus is coming back, but have an idea that we know what we can expect simply because we know what he was like the first time around. The image of Jesus that's pressed into our minds by the Gospels is the baby in the manger, the humble carpenter walking around Galilee and Judea, preaching and healing people. And we see him ultimately on the cross, and then, of course, rising and ascending. That's the Jesus we naturally picture, and for good reason, from our experience with him in the gospel, the books of the Gospels. The baby, or the gentle, meek, and mild Jesus with the long hair and the kind eyes, the kind that you see in all the pictures. Now, based on what the Bible says, though, I think we might be taken a bit off guard by the reality that we're faced with when he does return. And that's why Christ the King is an important remembrance. He has, of course, always been King of Kings and Lord of Lords by his very nature. In the Incarnation, he chose to set that aside for a time to humbly serve and to accomplish his mission of salvation and redemption. But the second time, we will see the full glory and power and authority that goes along with being that King of Kings above all others. As Jude writes in our readings for today, glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Other places in Scripture we read about the eternal dominion and the power of Christ, that all peoples and nations and languages will serve him and be under his authority. Now, here and now, here around us, the kingdom of Christ is purely a spiritual one. We see it, most of all, in the Christian church. It's believers who are the citizens of that heavenly kingdom while still living in the middle of the earthly one. But the primary reminder of this time is that the way things are right now is not the way things are going to be forever and ever. The world is not eternal. We heard these words from the prophet Isaiah, "The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment." Or, in Jesus' words from the Gospel reading, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven." The earth will pass away and will be remade. The eternal kingdom of Christ will be established. Last week we considered the uncertainty that all of this can produce in us, not knowing when the end will come, and the hope, of course, that we have during difficult times that Jesus tells us to expect. But there's another trap that we can fall into. Complacency. We can lose sight of Christ's return and Christ's true kingship and his overwhelming authority. We can get caught up in the way things are right now. We can imagine, so it was yesterday, so it is today, and so it will be tomorrow. Jesus reminds us that no one will know the right moment until it actually happens. You know, that's nice in a way. It means that if there's anybody out there who is claiming they have correctly identified and predicted the day, you can safely ignore that and probably everything else they're teaching. It's a quick shorthand for identifying a certain kind of false teacher. Have they set a particular date for the end? Then they're not really worth listening to. Certainly, we are warned to expect false prophets, including here in this passage. But the point Jesus is making is a different kind of warning. Be on your guard. Keep awake. Be watchful. Because you do not know when the time will come. It's a bit like how the health inspector does not give a restaurant advance warning before he shows up. You never know, so you have to always be prepared. That should keep us focused on the work that he has given us to do in the meantime. We are given a number of things that we should do as Christians. Love and serve our neighbors. Strive to live holy and pure lives, resisting temptation. And, of course, proclaim the gospel to all people. That should be enough, probably more than enough, to keep us occupied without worrying about decoding prophecy and whatnot. And so stay awake. The King is coming. As we read in Mark this morning, he is coming with great power and glory, sending his angels out to gather his elect, his faithful people, from all parts of the earth. Saint Augustine wrote this, "Every Christian ought to watch, lest the coming of the Lord find him unprepared. But the last day will find unprepared anyone whom this day will find unprepared." In other words, if you want to be ready on the last day, you have to be ready every day. He goes on, "The first coming of Christ the Lord was in obscurity. The second will be in the sight of the whole world. When he came in obscurity, no one recognized him but his own servants. When he comes openly, he will be known by both the good and the bad. When he came in obscurity, it was to be judged. When he comes openly, it will be to judge. He was silent at his trial, as the prophets foretold, silent when accused. He will not be silent as judge. Even now he does not keep silent if there is anyone to listen." And so there will be no mistaking that second coming. If you're not sure whether or not it's already happened, then I think we can be pretty sure that it hasn't. His first coming was in obscurity and silence, to be judged and to bear the condemnation of the world. In the second coming, he will be the judge and he will be the king over all. And yet, as Augustine says, even now he does not keep silent if there is anyone to listen. Even now he is calling and warning us all to be prepared. And so how do we do that? How do we make sure that we are prepared every day, that even without any warning, we will have nothing to fear when the King of Kings arrives? Well, this reading from Mark doesn't directly say, but we do see it in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah. "My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out," we read. And then, later on, "My salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. The heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like an old tattered garment, but the salvation and the righteousness of God will be forever." And that is the salvation and righteousness we have in Christ, by grace through faith. That is the righteousness that we see in Romans, that the one who believes God is considered righteous before him. We are prepared every day, in case it should be our last, by simply being a Christian, having faith in Christ, trusting him, resting in the promises he has made. You are prepared for the return of Jesus as all-powerful King and Judge by remembering all that he has accomplished for your benefit and for your redemption during his first coming. Because he was judged and condemned then, you will not be condemned later. His salvation has gone out to you, and it lasts forever. Even when heaven and earth pass away and we see the unimaginable victory march of the King of Kings, his salvation lasts forever. And certainly we are called to remain on our guard and to stay awake. Don't get complacent or apathetic. But as Jude encourages us, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Getting caught up in speculating about the end times or trying to predict them actually gets in the way of the real task of being prepared for them, building up our own faith and the faith of others, in prayer and in love for our neighbors. The return of the King could happen before this service or this sermon is over. Or it could be after every single one of us has passed away, as Isaiah says. We don't know. We can't know. And we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to focus on the task at hand, which God has given us. Speak the gospel. Be a faithful witness. Love God and love others. Live lives of goodness, kindness, peacefulness, and all the other fruits of the Spirit. That is more than enough. And when the Lord comes, he comes as King over all things, as we sang together in our sermon hymn, Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for every sinner slain. Thousand, thousand saints attending swell the triumph of his train. Christ the Lord returns to reign. May we remain awake and watchful, and so rejoice when we see this fulfilled. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds until we see our Lord face to face. Amen.